It's Monday the 22nd of June 2015 and I'm in the Renaissance Hotel in Seoul, South Korea, attending the International Council of Nurses 2015, which is being held here. And this is my last day in Seoul. I went for another run in Gangnam District this morning. I've been spelling it wrongly, I think, and pronouncing it wrongly. It's Gangnam District. And went in the opposite direction from the one I went in yesterday and discovered that the place is exceedingly hilly, but it was very pleasant nevertheless. I think 6:30 is about as late as I would really want to be going out running here in the morning, that is, because it gets quite hot during the day, but it's pretty good, but a bit humid. So I'm glad to have got a run in before I take a long-haul flight back to the UK via Hong Kong this evening. So my plan today is to go to the up to the conference for a while, later on attend a debate on sustainable health. I'm trying to remember what it is now. It's universal healthcare, and meet a few people, including Hester Klopper, the world president of Sigma Theta Tau, who's in her last year of office. Hopefully find Kathy Catrambone, her successor, as well, and then meet a few other people, like the president of the Nepal Nurses Association. And one of my Taiwanese friends, Wang, is here, and then meeting Sally Chan for lunch. And I've just checked the bus timetable downstairs. I'll probably head out to the airport at about 2:00. So I'll spend some time in my room this morning before I check out after breakfast doing some editing. These are just the sounds of Seoul on a Monday morning, about 9:45, as I'm walking down from my hotel down to the conference centre. Lots of little booths where men are cleaning and repairing shoes, but they seem to be a regular picture here. Must be something that people need to do a lot, having their shoes cleaned and repaired on the way to work. Endless coffee shops. The that very characteristic yin-yang with the strange black broken lines around it, fired at careers. Every light post. There's literally a coffee shop on every corner and several in between here. Some spectacular buildings. Not very high rise, but very interesting shapes. And Stephanie Ferguson and I came to the conclusion at exactly the same time yesterday that it's very like Chicago. I've only actually been once and very briefly in Chicago, despite passing through that airport 18 times. But it does for some reason remind me of Chicago, and I think it's because of the wide streets and the slopes, the hills. Not really like anywhere else I've been. Possibly Taipei, but as I think I've said already, the pavements are better. Taipei is slightly run down in places. Health and safety seems to be much more of a concern here than it is in many other parts of the Far East and Southeast Asia. Huge Japanese influence here, but it's not like Tokyo. Nothing at all like Hong Kong. The back streets look interesting. The main street could more or less be anywhere in a modern city, but big blocks with the back streets.
big interest in small shops, restaurants. If you had English time to explore them. Outside one quite tall building, there's a, well, looks like a sculpture, it's called the Sputnik. I don't know if it's actually a sculpture or if it's a Sputnik rocket that's crashed to the ground. Looks like something that could be quite difficult actually to make, but I'm not sure, I must Google that. Lots of interesting bronze statues everywhere too on the streets. Some with a sort of Buddhist theme, some just with a modern art theme. So I've checked out in my hotel, left my bag there. And my jacket, because it's a very warm day today. Probably in the 20s, but no humidity, so it's pleasant compared with where I've just been in Hong Kong. Very wide streets, you wouldn't dare cross the streets without waiting for the lights. But everywhere seems to be slightly different traffic regulations regarding crossings. Here, clearly when there's a green light, you've got priority, but I think traffic can come to the right onto the street you're on if there's nobody on the crossing. But they're certainly very good at stopping if you're on the crossing. Down seconds on the wide road for how long to get across. Something I first saw when I was in Taipei, in Taiwan, which I think is where that was invented. Quite common around the world now. Conference Centre. So I'll pick up on some news later.
How does the wider development come? 50,000
euros. Right? Yeah. Good. Yeah, that's very good. First time.
Oh, yes, 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 I'm on the list of that. Okay, yeah.
Those are just some sound bites or snippets from the universal healthcare debate that I went to this morning. The debate was kind of one-sided. There were two against one. There was Sheila Talu, the former Minister of Health from Botswana, and the nurse, and Jim Campbell, the Executive Director. He's from the UK, and he's Executive Director of the World Health Organization. And also against the motion of supporting universal health care was Agnes Sukat, and she is from the World Bank, and she's Director for Human Development at the African Development Bank and also a lead economist. I didn't think it was a very good debate. I thought the case for, of course, would have been won anyway before we even got into the chamber, because everyone's so in favour of universal health care, regardless of the realities of cost and such like. Sheila Talu talked about the need for universal healthcare as an investment. I've got some sympathy for that. If you invest in your population, then they're likely to be more healthy and more productive, and of course it's a good thing to do. I'm not against it. I just wonder if we can really afford it and whether it necessarily has to be provided for absolutely everybody free of charge on the basis of taxation. And Jim Campbell, who spoke after Agnes Sukat, really just talked a lot of rhetoric and read out what the aims of the WHO and various organisations were. Well, we can have as many aims as you like, that won't actually achieve us universal healthcare. I'd never actually heard Jim speak before or met him. He's well known to some of my colleagues, seemed like a very nice chap and all the rest of it, and I'm hoping that he will write something for Jan along with Stephanie Ferguson, but I didn't think he gave a very well-argued case either for the need or for the possibility of getting it. And Sheila Talu's case was sort of also heavily rhetoricised by getting the nurses in the room on her side. The room was pretty packed, there were hundreds of people in there, and seeing how great nurses were and how central they were to achieving universal healthcare. But again, that's fine, that doesn't help us to get there. Agnes Sukat, who seemed to be pretty much in favour of universal healthcare, to be fair, and for a move towards getting there, outlined some of the problems we need to address in order to get there. And she dealt with this as an economist. It's a very interesting argument on the basis of issues which are availability, distribution and performance, and she showed how in one African country, I'm not exactly sure which one it was, I can't quite remember, that these are issues to be addressed. For a start, doctors aren't very available. This country's only produced 900 in the last 20 odd years, something like that. They're unevenly distributed because most of them are in the city and not out in the countryside where the majority of the population lives. Something like 75% of the doctors are in the city, but 75% of the population lives in the rural areas. And the performance is frankly not very good in terms of quality of medical care. And she also
produced I think what's called a resource cost model and showed what the actual cost of healthcare would be and what would need to be done. And I think her conclusion was, if I'm correct, that universal healthcare would only be achievable with some involvement of the private sector. So she didn't say it wasn't achievable. Then Judith Shamir, the president of the ICN, she was chairing the debate, but she was pretty one-sided, she even admitted that, piled on a whole lot more rhetoric at the end, and of course everyone voted for it. And it wasn't done on the basis of a show of hands, it was done on the basis of clapping. So virtually a handful of us clapped against the motion, first of all. I'm sure a lot more people would have wanted to, but probably didn't have the nerve in front of the crowd. I couldn't care less. Then, of course, when it was coming to the need for universal healthcare and if we should make it available, you know, great sea of applause, as it were. And the Africans, the Botswanan people present, ululating, making what I consider to be an absolutely awful racket, but they make a strange noise that only they can make. And the motion was carried, and then Judith further compounded it by asking if we all thought nurses were wonderful people and if they would play a central part, etc., etc. I have to say, if anything, all of this compounded the reasons that I don't come very frequently to the ICN. It's not based on research, it's not particularly scholarly, it's particularly political and full of rhetoric and policy, and I'm not saying these things are not necessary, but it simply isn't my cup of tea. So after that, or at least just on the way to the debate, I bumped into Ali Staviano from Rome, a very good friend of mine who I thought was looking a bit trimmer. He says he started running, which is great. And he was here with a delegation from Rome. We sat together in the debate, and then he told me where he'd be meeting his colleagues afterwards at a poster they had. And I was particularly keen to see Gennaro Rocco, the former head of IPASVI, for whom Ali also works. IPASVI is the nursing board of Rome, a bit like the Nursing and Midwifery Council in the UK, and it regulates nursing at least in Rome. I'm not sure if it regulates nursing across the whole of Italy. I've never quite been able to find that out, but in fact I think it does. But anyway, I went and found Gennaro later on before I went for lunch, and very, very nice to see him. Got a great welcome and an introduction to other Italian colleagues there, one of whom said he had met me in Rome once before. Then, just before that, I met with Hester Klopper and Cathy Catramboni. Hester is probably made clear the present president of Sigma Theta Tau International and the initiator of GAPFON, and I'm guessing that she will continue as the mainstay of GAPFON. Cathy Catramboni is the incoming president. She comes in at the end of the year. And Pat Thompson, the chief executive of Sigma Theta Tau, was there with her. She's also part of GAPFON. And Cynthia Vlasic, also of GAPFON. So we had a very good 3/4 hour over coffee, Hester catching me up on what's happening in GAPFON and asking me a great deal about Hong Kong, specifically about each of the universities where nursing takes place. And we talked a little bit about the Middle East. And after that, I tracked down a very good friend, Sally Chan. I was with her in Luzhou recently, if you walk back through the podcasts. And Sally's a very old friend, former MSc student from the University of Edinburgh. Met up with her again at Chinese University of Hong Kong when I was an external examiner. And then later, when she was the head of nursing at the National University of Singapore, she appointed me as a visiting professor. When she left, I then got the boot from the incoming one. Just as a matter of interest, the incoming head, Emily Ong, on the very first day she was appointed, she sent an email at 9:03 to me terminating my contract as a visiting professor. Almost the first thing she did on taking over, it was clearly a priority.
And then Sally went to Newcastle University in New South Wales, where she's currently head of nursing. And we had lunch together with her husband, Ming-Xiu Cheng. And I'll be going to visit Sally and Cheng in October this year when I give a couple of writing workshops, a keynote at a conference, and a talk on my favourite subject of non-parametric item response theory, or Mock and Scaling. So that was it. I handed in my conference badge. They were very pleased that somebody was actually thinking about recycling. I'm sure not many people here do that. I hate throwing these things away these days. It seems such a waste. Always hope that somebody can use them again. Went back to the hotel, picked up my case, and waited for the bus, which was late. I'm on it just now, as you may be able to tell from the noise of the traffic going past. And I'm on the way to the airport.
Manchester Piccadilly. If you are leaving the train, please make sure you take all your personal belongings with you.
Any
Cambridge, Huddersfield, Dewsbury, Leeds, Selby, Brough and Hull. Once again, this train is the 941 First Transpennine Express service to Hull. If you're travelling on advance tickets, coach A can be found at the very front of the train.
I'm on the final leg of my journey home from Manchester Airport, about 10 minutes to go between Hull and Brough, and I find it incredible to think that yesterday afternoon I was having lunch with Sarek Chan and Bingxu Chen, and here I am in the morning back again in Hull. It's great when travel works out.
So we will be arriving at Hull, where this service will terminate. If all passengers, let's take a moment to ensure that you have all of your luggage and personal belongings with you. And as you do leave the train, please mind the gap between the train and the platform edge. We'd like to thank you for the First Transpennine Express today, and do wish you a very pleasant onward journey. Our next station stop will be Hull, where this service will terminate.